I learned something pretty interesting today. Apparently, hanging upside down for too long can be fatal. I'm not going into everything that led us to the moment of this discovery, because most of it isn't that important, but believe me when I say it was weird and stupid and involved thousands of leeches. We were suspended by rusty chains wrapped tightly around our bottom halves, some 10 or so feet off the ground in a mysterious underground building that had somehow gone unnoticed for decades in the forest next to the gas station where I work. It was cold and damp, and our only light source were the trio of burning barrels organized in a triangle around us, and I'm pretty sure this place wasn't ventilating any of that smoke. I was annoyed. At least I had my coworker Jerry there, hanging next to me, volunteering as a distraction from the situation at hand. To pass the time, he showed off his impressive repertoire of show tunes and told awful dad jokes, despite my repeated requests for him to stop. Around the 2 or 3 hour mark, our captor came back to check and see how we were doing. Maybe he was there to taunt us, I don't really know. His motivations were unclear. At first, when I heard the metal door scrape open, I was relieved that we were finally getting this show on the road. I don't want to sound ungrateful, but there's only so many times I can hear Jerry ask if his joke had gone under my head. He walked into the room slowly, one deliberate step after the other, and I'm sure he had theme music playing in his head and probably thought that he looked way cooler than he actually did. He was wearing cargo pants, a black leather jacket, and an apron spattered with blood. In one hand, he held a machete, in the other, an oversized hook. And on his face, he wore the stupidest mask I had ever seen, like some kind of nightmare Bugs Bunny with black fur, sharpened buck teeth, and a pointy, elongated ear that scraped the top of the doorframe as he entered. He pointed the machete right at me and said something in an intimidating yet muffled voice. "What?" I asked him. He repeated himself, now slightly more annoyed, but still equally as muffled.
"What's he saying?" asked Jerry.
"I have no idea," I answered. The man in the mask made a muffled scream and shook his weapons at us.
"Dude, just take the mask off," Jerry said, interrupting the muffle.
"Yeah, we know that's you, Bo. We're not idiots. You smell like Axe body spray and you've been casing the gas station for like a week now." His name was Bo Cavia. From those of you who aren't from the Deep South, that's BeauxCouvillion. And he had been a huge jerk for as long as I had known him. We met back in elementary school and established on day one that we weren't going to be friends. He wasn't the first person that I would have expected to resort to kidnapping and torture, but I wasn't all that surprised by this development either. It would be generous of me to say that Bo was a product of his upbringing. Sure, he came from a stupid, angry family in a stupid, angry town, and one might be tempted to say that he never had much of a chance of breaking the cycle, but I feel like maybe that's letting Bo off the hook too easily. My memories of Bo growing up most revolve around attempts to avoid him in gym class, and out of gym class, and everywhere. In 10th grade, Bo had a brief stint of popularity after the school board refused his grant request for $5,000 to sponsor a high school clan club, a student organization intended to celebrate Anglo-Saxon heritage by driving four-wheelers around in the mud. He and his father, mostly his father, sued on the basis of racial discrimination and settled out of court for an undisclosed sum. After that, he started shopping for clothes exclusively at Hot Topic and wearing his ginger orange hair in spikes like a 90s punk rocker. Then he printed off a bunch of copies of the Anarchist cookbook from the computer lab, started selling cigarettes in the school parking lot, spray painted a bunch of swastikas on the teachers' cars, and eventually made a name for himself as the edgy too cool for school kid. Shortly after that, he literally became the too dumb for school kid and got kicked out for bad grades and chronic truancy. They sued the school again, but I never heard how that case turned out. I didn't keep up with him, except for what I overheard at the gas station. He was still stupid and angsty, and he blamed everyone else for everything, from his multiple DUIs to his sudden and inexplicable weight gain. Bo was always pretty husky, but these days, he was about 4 feet tall, lying flat on his back, which was one more reason why it was so pointless for him to wear a mask. When we first noticed Bo hanging out in the gas station, I assumed that he was just planning on robbing us. See,
He was never anything even remotely clever, but the level of suspicious that he was behaving was... It was on the verge of comical. Wearing a hat and a trench coat, parking his truck at the edge of the lot, squinting to see if he had any security cameras anywhere in the building, coming in twice a day and never buying anything. The last Friday, he tried to talk up the female cashier while they were alone, and I'm sure that he thought that he was being seductive. But that's the power of self-delusion for you. Rosa told me all about it after I came in to take over the safe. He asked if we had any hidden weapons in the store, because if I needed it, he was more than happy to stick around and offer me his protection. Well, I said, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Did he open with that? He started by being super creepy and asking me where I was from, how long I worked here, yada yada. Then he asked if I was alone. Why would he think that that was okay to ask? What'd you tell him? Oh, I lied. I said you, Jerry, and Mac were in the back, rotating inventory. Wait, whoa, what? Who's Mac? He's a guy I made up to tell Bo. Mac is an ex-Marine with impulse control problems. He's just trying to do right by his ex-wife ever since they let him out of the slammer, where he did time for a crime he didn't commit. All he wants to do is be a part of his kids' lives, make some extra cash here at the gas station while he tries to take night classes to get his MBA. But an old acquaintance from his days in the service comes back into his life suddenly and unexpectedly, pulling Mac back down a dark rabbit hole that will change everything that he stands for. Will Mac make the right call? Find out on Mac the Knife. Anyway, I think we need to call Deputy O'Brien. There's really not much that she can do until he actually breaks the law. You know, we can put a gun under the counter. Do you have any idea how ridiculous it is that we don't keep a stash of weapons here at the gas station? I'll think about it. I did think about it. I really did. And I even came to the conclusion that Rosa was right. We should start arming ourselves, just in case. But then I got lazy and started reading a book, and then I forgot about it. And then last night I came in to take over for Jerry and start my overnight shift, but he wasn't there. Instead of Jerry, I found this fat dummy holding a machete and a gun, wearing this silly rabbit mask, forcing me into the back cab of his truck, and then he drove me out to the woods, down an old dirt road to a giant metal bunker door, and forced me inside, down a concrete hallway coated in dirt and graffiti, past rooms half-filled with stagnant rainwater, past giant metal silos, crumbling columns and metal beams, and finally into this huge empty room, where he tied me up with chains and hoisted me to the ceiling, next to Jerry. And that's how we got here. Between knock-knock jokes and Jerry's terrible a cappella rendition of Broadway hits, we wondered out loud what Bo's endgame was. The room he had us placed in contained a giant pentagram freshly painted on one wall with a ladder, a brush, and an open can from Sherman Williams sitting next to it. After that, I surmised that all the blood on Bo's apron was actually just paint. The best theory we could come up with was that he had gone off the deep end and he was planning to sacrifice us to the devil. Turns out, our theory wasn't that far off. Bo finally took off his mask, revealing the look of annoyance on his chubby round face. You shit bricks don't even know what kind of hurt you're in for, do you? A moment passed, and I said, oh wait, were you waiting for an answer? I'm sorry, I thought you were being, like, rhetorical. You think you're so smart, don't you? Well, you know what? You aren't. Come on, Bo, I said. Just let us down from here. We can pretend this whole thing never happened. No, we won't, interjected Jerry. As soon as you let us go, I swear, I'm heading to the sheriff's station to hand your ass in, and there's nothing you can do to stop me or change my mind. I cut my eyes at him and muttered a quiet, shut up. Something must have clicked in his head because Jerry started to backtrack. Oh, yeah, you're right. Never mind, Bo. I forgive you. Now, let us go, or else. Bo let out a forceful laugh that didn't sound even remotely convincing and then said, You're staying here for the rest of eternity. This is where you'll die. Did you know that the Chinese use death from hanging upside down as their most fierce form of torture? Again, I caught myself waiting for him to continue, only to realize he was asking us a question. No, I didn't know that.
Well, let me explain to you the different stages of pain you'll go through before death. First, You'll feel your lungs slowly being crushed under the weight of your other organs until the very act of breathing becomes nearly impossible. Then, your heart will overload from the extra work of pumping blood all the way to your toes and back. And then, the vessels in your eyes will rupture. You'll go permanently blind as you struggle for each breath. And then, after you're finally dead, I will bleed you dry and leave your bodies down here to rot.
I mean, I'm not a doctor. None of that sounded right. However, I wasn't about to tell Bo that he needed to, you know, up his torture game.
Hey!
Bo yelled, pointing his machete at the guy hanging to the other side of Jerry.
What's going on with that one?
By that one, he was referring to Mel, the new part-timer that Jerry had trained when Bo had come in earlier to kidnap him. It was his first day, and the poor guy was already in a secret underground torture chamber. Jerry answered,
Yeah, he passed out right off the bat. Yeah, we tried to wake him up, but he's lights out hard. Hey, Mel! Mel, wake up! You're missing the villain monologue!
Jerry swung an arm at Mel, but we were all suspended just out of reach of one another.
Is that guy dead already?
I studied Mel for a moment. I couldn't see any breathing or other signs of life. Yeah, I said sadly. I think he is.
Wow!
Bo said with a strange smile.
I did it! I took my first life!
Now I know how it feels.
This power is amazing. It's something you pathetic sheep are never going to feel. You'll never know the power of snuffing out another person's very existence.
Jerry chuckled and said, Okay, dude.
Oh, this is it. I have everything I need. Do you idiots want to guess what's about to happen next?
No. We both answered at the same time.
Now I have what I need to summon forth the beast, Kerrigan. He is an eternal being from another world, stronger than you could have ever fathomed. I've given him everything he needs to enter our realm, everything except for the final ingredient. The blood of a man in tortured anguish.
Bo went to the corner where the chains were all connected to an old crank device. He turned the wheel until Mel's body was lowered all the way to the floor. Then he unhooked Mel's chains, listened for a heartbeat. I guess he should have done those two in opposite order. Then he dragged Mel across the floor to the spot in front of the pentagram.
Hey, dude.
Jerry whispered to me.
Want to get out of this? I think we should seriously reconsider buying a shotgun or something for the store.
Bo got down on his knees and fished a large pocket knife out of his cargo pants, flicked it open, and kissed it.
You losers are about to see something that you're not even worthy to behold. The gates of hell will open, and you will literally be in the presence of the Dark Lord, Kerrigan. Tell me, have either of you seen an actual god before?
Yeah, we both said in unison. I look over to Jerry. Wait, really? When did you see a god? Oh, it was back when you were in the hospital for a few days, getting your, leg thing taken care of. There was this bat god named, Plabu or something. He was trapped in a small universe thing in a bottle of Strega liquor. Of course, I was on a lot of mushrooms at the time, so I might have imagined it. What about you? I answered, remember that time we were all escaping the zombie nudists in that underground cavern and we got separated by those giant hands that burst out of the walls? Yeah, I got sucked into that throne room of a dark tree god. Turned out to be a really cool guy, though. Of course, I was on a lot of painkillers at the time, so I might have imagined that. Our lives are weird, they responded.
Hey!
Bo yelled.
I'm being serious here. This is real, and you're about to see for yourselves. Watch.
With a few hands around the hilt, he plunged the knife into Mel's chest. Mel's eyes shot open and he screamed and bolted to his feet. It worked! Jerry yelled. Mel is a zombie! Mel screamed again and looked at the weapon sticking out of his chest. Mel! Go get help! I yelled. Bo struggled to get his fat ass to his feet, but Mel turned around, punched him in the face, and darted out the door down the hallway.
Get back here!
Bo screamed as he threw his hook after the escaping victim. It clanged against the wall several feet from the door and fell to the ground, and Bo huffed and ran out after him. A few minutes later, Bo came back into the room with his head hung low, his eyes red and watery, and snotty blood flowing messily from his nostrils. It looked like that punch might have left Bo with a broken nose, and as pathetic as he looked, We couldn't possibly feel sorry for him.
All your fault,
he growled at us. Yeah, how do you figure? Asked Jerry.
You lied to me. You tricked me into believing Mel was actually dead.
Jerry snapped his fingers and said,
Bitch, get off this persecution complex. You're the one that brought us down here to torture us to death. You don't get to cry over how we weren't nice to you.
Now I'm gonna kill you,
Bo hollered.
Yeah? So you say, Jerry taunted.
Bo wiped his bloody nose off on his sleeve and flung it onto the ground and screamed again.
You have no idea how powerful I'm gonna be. You're gonna learn your place. You're all gonna respect me. And when I'm done, I...
He stopped mid-sentence. And his face went pale. Then he turned and looked at his bloody spatter on the floor. Then at the pentagram on the wall.
What?
He stammered to nobody in particular. Jerry gave me a look that said, This dude is 4 equal sides short of a square.
Oh, yes, of course.
He was speaking to the wall. So, like, you wanna let us down now, or what? I asked. Bo looked at me with a giant ugly smile and asked,
Did you guys hear that too?
Hear what? He responded.
That voice! He's right there!
Bo pointed at the pentagram.
He can hear me, and he's telling me that I've done well. The blood was good. My blood, he just needs more. Of course, all he needs to come forth is to make the ultimate sacrifice.
Bo picked up his machete with his right hand and held it to his left wrist, then closed his eyes and took a deep breath.
This is it. This is why he chose me to summon Kerrigan. Because he knew when the time came, I would have the strength to do what's necessary.
Wait. Oh, hold on. Who chose you for what? I said, I'm lost.
Yeah, Jerry said. Me too. I wasn't really paying attention. Was Mel a zombie or what?
Bo opened his eyes, forced another fake laugh, and said,
There's a man in town. I never got his name, but I didn't have to. He found me. He offered me a job. He gave me purpose. And now I'm part of something greater than myself. All he asks is I summon Kerrigan into this world. It's all part of a great plan, and soon it'll be finished.
He closed his eyes. He lifted the machete, then slowly put it back against his skin. Then we waited. For like 30 seconds. Eventually, Jerry crept into the silence in his best Emperor Palpatine voice.
Yes, that's it. Do it. Let the darkness be your strength. Let the anger guide you. Let the hate flow through you.
Dude, I said, quit it. You're gonna mess him up. Bo threw the weapon to the ground and screamed at us again.
You bitches have no idea what it's like. How hard I have to struggle. I've gone my entire life putting up with shit stains like you two, trying to keep me down. I'm sick and I'm tired of it. Soon, Kerrigan will come and all the people that make life worse, all you people, will get exactly what you deserve.
I had actually forgotten that he still had a gun until this moment, until he pulled it out of his waistband and his cargo pants and said,
This is what real strength looks like!
And he put it into his mouth. I closed my eyes and said, You're gross. After a few seconds, he still hadn't pulled the trigger. And I opened my eyes to see that he was frozen there with the gun still in his mouth.
Hey, man, I have an idea, Jerry said. You're clearly having trouble riding that struggle bus over there. Why don't you let me down from here? Give me the gun. And I'll kill you. Yeah? What? Sound good? You want to die. I want to kill you. It's a win-win.
Bo pulled the gun out of his mouth and spat on the ground.
You don't have what it takes to kill anybody.
Oh, no, really. I've totally got a hard-on for homicide. Just ask Jack. It's true, I said.
Before he worked at the gas station, Jerry was the only surviving member of a murder cult. Bo walked angrily over to the crank wheel and started lowering Jerry to the ground. Oh shit, is this actually working? Bo took the chains off Jerry, tossed the gun next to him, and then held the machete like a baseball bat right underneath me and said,
Okay, asshole, here's the deal. You can't back out now. If you don't spill my blood and open the portal, I'm gonna kill your friend and...
Jerry didn't hesitate for 1 second to shoot. Bo screamed and flopped onto the ground, hugging the foot with a fresh bullet hole. Then Jerry fished his pack of smokes out of his pocket, lit one up, and took a puff. "Hey, dude," I said, "you want to let me down from here now?" But before we could answer, the fire from the burning barrel started flaring up, roaring and growling, and before we knew what was happening, they had formed giant cyclones of burning red and blue blazing swirls that climbed up to the ceiling. As the heat from the fire swept over me, I saw a chrysalic, sparkling light in the center of the pentagram, growing from the size of a pinprick to an enormous swirling vortex of pure shimmering lights.
"Well, check that out," Jerry said.
Bo started frantically laughing, and I think that he was just about to give us a smug, "I told you so," but before he could, an enormous skeletal hand reached out from the void and grabbed him around the waist. I can't exactly describe what this hand looked like. It was... That's because I don't think the entity it belonged to was part of our world or understands a physics. See, it was, at the same time, the size of a normal human arm and the size of Manhattan Island. It was a color that had never existed. It had 5 fingers, and each fingertip split into 5 more fingers, which each broke into 5 fingers, which broke into 5 more fingers ad infinitum. I could somehow hear the creature's arm moving with my eyes, and the smell of its flesh was very similar to gumdrops. Jerry later insisted it smelled more like spiced rum. Bo let out a gasp as the infinite fingers squeezed around him, and then the arm dragged him slowly through the swirling void.
"Holy shit!" Jerry yelled. "That asshole had my wallet!"
"Jerry!" I yelled to get his attention. Then he looked up at me. I pointed at the spot on the ground where the dumbass Bo's foot blood had started the pool. "You have to figure a way to close the portal!" Jerry put his lit cigarette between his lips, unzipped his fly, and started pissing into the puddle of blood. And amazingly, it worked! A noise like a crack of thunder filled the room, and the portal disappeared, along with all of the light.
As the fires from the burning barrels immediately extinguished themselves. In the darkness, all I could hear was the sound of Jerry pissing on the floor.
After a while, he finished up and said,
"Wow, that's a relief. Man, I gotta tell you, I've been holding it ever since he kidnapped us.
You let me down now or what?"
"Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm on it."
It took about 10 minutes for him to find the wheel in the dark and lower me to the ground.
And by the time we got the chains off, you'd hear sirens growing louder in the distance. Deputy O'Brien took our statements, then threw them away and told us to try again. Our second version of the events left out the part where an evil being reached into our world to grab Bo and drag him into a hell dimension. She informed us that the building was some kind of satellite power plant for, I don't know, since the 50s? And the place was shut down and demolished, but they forgot about the basement level. And after a few years, nature reclaimed it. From the look of things, Bo had been trying to live out there by himself. Officially, he was a lone gunman, a single maniac. With him gone, we had nothing to worry about. Unofficially, we're all a little on edge about who hired him to summon a demon. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we won't. Either way, we need to hire somebody to replace Mel, because something tells me that he isn't coming back to work. But in other news, I just learned that the carnival is coming to town soon, so that's pretty exciting. Until next time, this is Jack from the gas station.
Hey there, everyone who's listening on YouTube, or those of you who are listening on the podcast. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta. And before you head out for the night, I just wanted to let you know about a couple of things. Without you, the show doesn't take place. So, if you guys would like to support the show, or if you guys would like to get your hands on a couple of cool little things whenever new things come out, check out patreon.com/MrCreepyPasta, and any support that you guys show, I really appreciate. For everyone who's already donated to the Patreon, I really appreciate it. You guys are amazing, and thank you so much for that. If you guys are looking for more Creepypasta Storytime, there's a new video that's uploaded to this channel or uploaded to the podcast every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday now. You can be able to get more from me at facebook.com/MrCreepyPasta or on Twitter at MrCreepyPasta and then the number 0. Thanks so much for listening, kids, and for your support.
And sweet dreams.